Okay. So we finished up our last lesson last Sunday, and we started at the end of maybe last third of our class talking about authority in the husband-wife relationship. And this can be a difficult topic for husbands and wives. And so we talked about the fact that authority, any authority that man has, is delegated by God, because God inherently has authority over us. So any husband that has authority, it is not inherently his. It was given to him. It was given to him by God. And so we talked about what does that We started talking about what does that mean? What does it mean to have the authority? And we looked at the example right at the end of class of Jesus and how he came to serve, and yet Jesus had authority. And we talked about how he washed the disciples' feet. That's where we left off. Keeping up with that idea, if you look over in Ezekiel, Ezekiel 34. We talked about this. Sean talked at length about this particular passage in reference to shepherds. We can use the same idea because we're talking about those in positions of authority. And in verse 1, he says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock." So, husbands, men, how do you use your authority? Is your authority your crown, your hammer? This is your right to make decisions? Are you like the shepherds in Ezekiel 34? You remember when Rehoboam became king, and you remember he looked for counsel. And do you remember in 1 Kings what type of counsel did the older men give him? What was their advice? Kelly. Okay. And then what was the advice of his peers, of the younger men? More power, make it harder. Your middle finger will be thicker than the waist of your father. That's how you're going to be even more oppressive. And what was the result? It divided the kingdom. They rebelled, right? They rebelled. And so we see what type of authoritarian type of environment causes. It doesn't bring about peace and unity and harmony. It brings about discord, division, and rebellion. And so I think these are not obviously specific man and woman type examples, but I think the idea of leadership in these examples is still valid when you are looking at the authority that the man has in the relationship. Look over in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look a little more closely at a verse that I'm sure we're all familiar with. We're going to start in verse 22. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. If you looked at the material that I sent out, we're going to talk about in just a minute the explicit, peculiar, imperative responsibilities that are listed in this passage. So, if you look in verse 23, we talked about this last week. Every man has the expectation to be the head. And we talked about the fact that it is not up to man to choose whether or not he wants to be the head of his household. It is the expectation by God that is the role that the man will fulfill. Now, the question is, what type of head is he going to be? What type of head in verse 23, 25, and 29 is he encouraged to be? What is his example? Christ, as Christ is the head of the church. So, with that expectation, he loves, nourishes, looks out for everything Christ did for the church was in a role of service, correct? To the point that he gave his own life. This is the type of head that men are supposed to be in their household. Now, what else does that include? If we look further into the verse, so we know that he should be a leader in verse 23. We know that in verse 25, he's dedicated. We know Christ was dedicated to the church to the point that he gave his own life. Verse 28, he should be gentle, that no harm should come to himself or to his wife. And we're not talking just physically. We're talking about the four things that we talked about, the fourfold nature of man. So spiritually, physically, mentally, socially, a husband is to be gentle and looking out for his wife, devoted in verse 29. For no one ever hated his own body, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. And faithful, verse 31. That's the type of husband a wife should expect. So, those who may be unmarried, is this the type of husband that you are looking for? Do you esteem yourself highly enough to look for someone who meets these qualities? Husbands, is this you? Is this you? If it's not, it should be. So, what do we mean by explicit? The idea that the husband is to be the head of the church is clearly understood. It's clearly stated. It's distinctly set forth in this passage. So there's no doubt to the meaning that husbands are to be head of the relationship. Peculiar in the sense that there's only one person that can fulfill this role. It has been designated which of these two people in the relationship. Only one man, only one person can fulfill that role, and it is the man. And then it's imperative, as we talked about. It's not a choice. You don't get to choose. I think we talked about the fact that we probably know husbands and wives, that the wife may actually be the better leader. But again, the responsibility is not based on ability. The responsibility is based on God assigned it to be this way. So, talk a little bit about the man. What is the wife commanded to do? To submit. Everybody knows that. She's commanded to submit. What does submission mean? If I tell Jennifer, this is my decision, she can submit or she cannot submit, even if she acquiesces to what I have to say, right? What does submission look like? How are we to submit? Look in verse 22. Wives are to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. Wives, do you constantly question your husband's decisions? You can obey and not submit. Verse 24 says to submit just as the church is subject to Christ and in everything. There is respectful submission and then there is obedience, and the two are not the same, Rod.
I would suggest also that most marriages, I would think the husband and wife agree on most things. Agree. Agreement isn't submission. If Alana agrees with me on something, well, that's how she feels anyway. She's going to, you know, follow her beliefs. And so when I ask her to do something, well, she's going to say, well, of course, because that's what I think we should do anyway. That's not submission. It's when she really believes this may not be the best approach. That's when submission kicks in. And I mean, and that's when it's difficult. But people think, oh yeah, we agree on everything. So what? Most marriages agree on most things. It's the one-off.
It's when they don't agree, and you're right. And so for a wife to be in submission, who does she have to be in submission to before her husband? She has to be in submission to God, right? If she's not in submission to God, then her entire framework, her entire mental state is not in the right place. So before a woman can submit to her husband, she has to submit to Christ. This is his will. So if you haven't surrendered that to God, you haven't surrendered that to your husband. We talked a little bit about there has to be a framework for authority in any relationship, whether it's your business relationship, whether it's your school or other social functions. Someone has to be in charge. Otherwise, you just end up with chaos. So what is the husband commanded to do? Well, we talked about the fact that he is commanded to love his wife. How is he to love his wife? In the same manner that Christ loved the church. And we have talked about what that looks like. Well, men, do you always make decisions that are based on the welfare of your wife and not yourself?
Yeah.
Somehow, I don't think Rod is completely serious in that answer. Men, I think we can all look at examples of things, the decisions that we have made that maybe weren't the selfless decision, but the selfish decision. That is not following the example of Christ and how he loved the church. We're talking about daily care for the four needs we talked about: emotional, physical, social, and spiritual, or physical. That takes courage sometimes. It's not always easy. A man is not a king, but in the same sense of the examples that we looked at, his decisions will have an impact on his family. And that will not just be his wife. It will also be kids. Children are very intuitive. They can understand and see, even from an early age, the relationship between mom and dad. And how does dad treat mom? And how does mom treat dad? And we talked about that's the example that they're going to carry at least some into their relationship. So what kind of example of love and submission are you showing to your children? In this verse, he talks about a man should love his wife as he loves his own body. And literally, did not woman come from man's own body? I think that's an interesting analogy. And if you are a member of the body, now talking about the church, and you harm someone in the body, who does it hurt? The whole body, right? So if you men make a decision that hurts your wife, who are you really hurting? You're really hurting yourself. Can someone turn over to the verse where a wife is commanded to make her husband love her. And while one of you is turning to that one, maybe the other person could turn to the verse where it tells the husband to make his wife submit. I know most of you are using electronic, but I don't hear any pages turning. It doesn't exist. This is where things get difficult. I have been here. You have to submit. You have to love me. So many times, husbands spend their time trying to make their wives submit, and wives spend their time trying to make the husbands love them. And then what inevitably happens is, well, you're not loving me, so I'm not going to submit. Well, you're not submitting to me, so I'm not going to love you in that manner. This is not a 50-50 relationship. This is a 100-100% relationship. It's not, I give my 50%, you give your 50%, and then we'll measure up to see how we're doing. That's not how this works. Men, it is a 100% commitment to love your wife. And wives, it is a 100% commitment to respectfully submit to your husbands. It's not based on their actions. I've fallen into this trap. You spend time trying to get your spouse to behave in the manner you think they should instead of focusing on what you should be doing. So we're gonna address men and women equally, but women, here's two questions for you. Do you complain because your husband doesn't love you as he should? Question number two, does your husband feel you are contentious and stubborn? And of those two questions, which one should alarm you more? Husbands, are you often irritated, angry, and vindictive because you feel your wife doesn't comply with your wishes? Question number one. Question number two, does your wife repeatedly remark that you do not understand or consider her in your decisions and actions? And again, which question is more troubling to you? There has to be mutual respect in a relationship. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 3. We've read part of this passage before, but we're going to read it again. Starting in verse 1, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters are, if you do good, and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So before we really dive into this passage, anybody out there use this as to tell their wives to call them Lord? I did. I was joking. I mean, it's a little, it's, anyway, okay. She's laughing. It's okay. Women, we talk about this gentle and quiet spirit and what makes a woman beautiful in the eyes of God, and the gentle and quiet spirit. And it may be difficult. Her husband may not be a respectable man. If you look at the context of 1 Peter chapter 2, the person that's being described may not be someone that makes it very easy to submit. But what does Peter say in verse 1? The example of the wife here, her husband is a non-believer. Guys, have you ever had a bad boss? Women had a bad boss in at work. Someone that's just really difficult, no matter what you do, they're just really hard to deal with. Do you still have to respect them as your boss? You do, right? Or you find, in that case, you can find another job. Marriage isn't that way. But many of us have probably had times where someone in a position of authority is very difficult to deal with. They may not be a good person. They may make decisions that benefit only themselves. They may make decisions that directly impact you in a negative manner. That may be the case with this husband in this passage. But yet, what is the wife's responsibility? To still submit. In turn, husbands, you may have married a woman who doesn't do submission well. She may be loud. She may say things about you to other people. I mean, you can carry this to whatever level you want. It does not change your responsibility to make decisions based on her welfare, to love her, to be gentle with her, to look out for her best interest. What I'm saying is not easy. I understand. And I would imagine that most of us in this audience don't fall into those types of categories. But as with any two people that coexist, there will be disagreements. And some of them may be fundamental in the outlook of how we want to carry out our life together. Does this mean that a woman can't express her opinion, by the way? Is that what we're talking about, submissive? That she just accepts whatever the man says, kind of head down, oh, okay, thank you, Lord. Is that what we're talking about? Is that the type of wife that Peter and Paul are talking about? I don't think so. Who does he use for an example of submission in the husband-wife relationship in this passage? Sarah. Was Sarah a quiet little mouse that never expressed her opinion? No. You remember what happened with Hagar? Was Sarah quiet in the sense of not speaking? No. That doesn't mean wives can't provide their input, can't provide their feedback, can't provide their thoughts. That's doing detriment to the husband who needs that type of counsel. It's the manner in which you do it. But that doesn't mean that the wife is simply supposed to sit by on and just accept whatever comes down from on high. That's not what we're talking about. They're partners. There's mutual respect. Because just as we talked about before, is an employee any less than his employer as a person? Is Christ any less than the Father because he submitted? No. And that's what this says. They are equal. They are both fellow heirs of God. Dusty. It does, and it also, I don't know what the right word is, it builds up capital we tend to reciprocate the type of behavior that we receive. We looked at that in another class. If I treat Jennifer with love and she sees me looking out for her best interest, when I make a decision that she may not agree with, do you think that's going to be easier or harder for her to accept? Now, let's say that I haven't been treating her that way, that I haven't been gentle with her, that I haven't been looking out for her best interest, and now I make a decision that she disagrees with. Is it going to be harder or easier for her to submit? It's going to be harder, right? And you can look at that in the opposite way for the wife. So you're right. And if I understand what you're saying, you're building that even when you don't necessarily have those times of disagreement. But when they do come, if this is the pattern of behavior you've established with each other, those difficult, at least in my relationship, those difficult times are easier to handle. So what is it? What does it mean that the husband is to treat his wife as a weaker vessel? There's really three different ways you can probably interpret this. Does that mean she's weaker? Tara? I tend to think that's probably what this means, is that you are to treat your wife as something of great value and that should be handled with care. And I think that's, in my opinion, that's probably what the application means here. Does it mean weaker vessel as in she's weaker physically or mentally or socially or spiritually? Have you ever known a woman that was stronger than her husband? It happens now and then. I don't think this is talking about a physical thing, that she's physically weaker. I think Tara's application that we're looking at someone who should be treated with care and not fragile, but with gentleness, something that you care a lot about. And that's a mindset. Someone made the analogy, this is a message from the Creator, handle with care. Is that how we think of our wives? Handle with care. That you treat them like fine china, of something of great value. And when you make decisions, that's your mindset. Antonio.
Division between the two of you would be even more catastrophic. I think that's part of what we see in society today, with marriages not working like it should. And I agree with what has been said about it, but I wonder if this is another way to look at it, where that with the vessel is also that intimate relationship can easily be shattered if, in this case, the husband.
I think it definitely speaks to the preciousness of the relationship in all of the manners that have been mentioned. Rod, did you have something?
Well, there's another way, and it builds on what's already been said, and I'm not sure it matters, but some have suggested that the weakness here is the position that she's put in, that because you're the one of authority, guy, and she is the one of submission, she's in a weaker position. But then he goes on to emphasize in verse 7, but don't get this wrong, you're joint heirs. You are totally equal, but I've given you different roles. Now, I don't know, it doesn't matter if it's that or if it's China analogy or the other analogy, the emphasis is, guys, make sure you do this right.
And that was the third way you can interpret it that I was referring to. And I agree, it doesn't really matter, but I definitely think that you can look at it that way because the wife is in a weaker position. She's the weaker. She doesn't have the authority in the relationship. So she's as the weaker vessel. So I agree. It all points back to the same idea. Handle with care. Or what? You're going to answer to God. Now, that being said, about the husband having authority in the relationship, does the wife have any authority in the family relationship? Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And in verse 14, Paul writes, "Therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully." So, God did delegate woman authority in the family relationship. What is it? It's over the house, right? The wife has been given delegated authority over the kids, over the family. Now, the question is, obviously the husband has authority over the wife and over the family. So now you have two people that have authority. So how do you husbands respect the authority that your wife has over your children? And wives, do you take the responsibility that has been given to you? Or do you simply try to push that off on the husband? The wait till your daddy gets home approach. I'm not dealing with this. Wait till your father gets home. He can handle it. Dusty. And that was the second point I'm going to make is husbands, do you like to be micromanaged at work, husbands or men or women? Do you like being micromanaged? Survey of things employees dislike most in the workplace from their boss is micromanagement. Do you like to be questioned about every little thing that you do in your job? I don't. I don't think anybody does. Oh yeah, I love to be micromanaged. I love it when my boss constantly asks me what I'm doing and why and how it could have been done better. Wives are the same way, husbands. We don't micromanage everything they do. And here's the thing. Do you respect her authority to the point that you support her in decisions that she makes? Let's assume she makes a decision regarding the children that you didn't necessarily, you weren't around. She made the decision. You don't necessarily agree with it. Do you disagree with her in front of the children? Do you rule over her, overrule her? And how does that look for her authority going forward if the kids know all I got to do is wait till I talk to dad and he'll make the decision different than mom? Kelton. Which is why we talked about communication before we talked about these specifics within the relationship, right? Communication is key. You have to have the proper communication. And especially when you're talking about the kids. Because if the wife is making decisions and managing her house, the husband has to respect that. But then the husband also should be speaking with his wife in private about how do we want to manage this? What's our vision, both of us? How does this look when it comes to discipline, when it comes to anything within the household, especially related to the kids? If you don't have that communication of how are we going to manage this so that you can trust that your wife is going to carry it out in the manner that you believe is right, and you get her feedback, you get her input on what is this going to look like. When you discipline your children, or you educate your children, or whatever it may be, is that a joint? Have you two talked about this, and this is our vision going forward of how we want to do this? Because if you haven't, like Kelton said, you're not going to be on the same page. And so when your wife disciplines your children and you come home and you totally disagree, chances are there was a breakdown in communication before that ever happened. And I would encourage you, if there are issues like this, to sit down and discuss it. But I would suggest that you use scriptures to have that conversation, because I think and you think are not going to accomplish resolving the issue. Some of these things that we're talking about are not, like we say, politically correct in today's environment. And if we're not careful, we can be influenced without even realizing that some of our attitudes may not reflect what God's will is for us. So having these discussions scripturally based will ensure that you're using the right foundation to build your house. I'm going to stop there, because that moves us into the next section and we only have 1 minute. Does anybody have any other comments that they would like to share before we close? Okay. Thank you for your attention.